Kate, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Ruby. Lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you. Now, would you be able to take us through the ways the brain is affected by alcohol in relation to anxiety and depression?
It's a trap because alcohol, excuse my sexy voice, half of it's decided to go right on cue.
I love it.
It's a bit of a trap because alcohol in the short term relieves anxiety, but then alcohol is a sedative. If you drink enough of it, you go under the table, you go unconscious, and your brain reacts to having a sedative on board by turning up its natural stimulants, its natural uppers, to balance it out. So the more you drink, the more your body turns up your natural uppers to try and counteract it. So after a while, the alcohol stops working. But also, when you stop drinking, even overnight, you get some rebound and you feel more anxious. So we see a lot of people come into us with problems sleeping or anxiety, and they're thinking of alcohol as the solution. We try and educate them that it's become part of the problem. It might not have been the initial cause of the problem, but it's become part of the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's seems only natural, right? Like now, is it likely people might experience heightened anxiety while drinking, or is this a problem more likely to occur as the alcohol leaves your system?
It's more likely the next morning when the alcohol's leaving or left your system, and particularly, you know, if you haven't had a drink for the day, it starts to build up before the first drink of the day. So I think that's one of those cues to someone that they might be starting to get dependent on alcohol, is that in the morning they start thinking about it and craving it, and they're finding they can't function without it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this one's quite a big one, and I guess like very topical at this current moment in time. Now, would you say the drinking culture in Australia kind of adds a layer of pressure to our decisions to drink or not to drink in social situations?
I think there's no doubt about it from my personal experience as a clinician. You know, I treat people with alcohol problems, but also I talk to a lot of young people, and I meet young people who don't want to drink, for example, because they're trying to get pregnant. And they're still getting pressure. Why aren't you drinking? And they don't necessarily want to say, I'm trying to get pregnant, because they don't know if it's going to work. They don't know if a baby's going to come. And I also see people who have started to get worried that alcohol's becoming a problem for them. And they're trying to cut back, but people are still trying to push a drink on them. So I think all of us have to be very mindful of having other options there for people who don't want to drink or don't want to drink much. And then if we ourselves are not wanting to drink much, you can even think through, you know, what's going to be your tack? Is it that, you know, I'm getting in early for my New Year's resolution? Or is it, you know, I've heard these new drinking guidelines. I'm worried I don't want to get my risk of cancer up. I'm on a health kick. So you can draw. I think we have to get used to having excuses if we don't want to drink or being the designated driver. But as the other people in the social function, we have to respect the fact that not everyone wants to drink. And for some people, they have a very good reason why they don't want to drink.
Yeah, and I guess it kind of sucks because of this culture is like you have to think of an excuse instead of just
totally.
Being like, actually, I just don't feel like it.
Exactly. Something's gone a bit wacky, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know one person who was starting to get worried he was developing an alcohol problem, and he was so aware of the social pressure that he used to pour ginger beer into an empty beer can, so he was drinking something that looked like alcohol and people would leave him alone.
Well, see, I haven't drunk for about 2.5 years because I suffer from alcohol-induced epileptic fits. So I haven't drunk for a really long time, but I'm always having like soda water with lime because it kind of looks like a vodka soda. And like when I tell people about it, they're like, oh, that sucks so much. And it's like, yeah, kind of, but at the same time, like I'm probably better for it. Like,
well, and life also goes on.
Exactly.
With or without alcohol, life's not bad.
Yeah.
And you might have heard all the talk. I think I spoke with you about the new drinking guidelines, and they're finding that even above 2 drinks a day, the risk of cancer starts going up. So there's very good reasons that people want to limit what they drink. And some people choose not to drink, and we have to respect that, even if it's not for a medical reason.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sometimes people just don't want to drink, and that's okay. Yes. So
some people don't like the taste either.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's I feel like it's a very acquired taste. So
yes, absolutely. And I think for people such as yourself, or people who are wanting to get pregnant or have other reasons not to drink, they don't want to have to explain their reasons to every person they meet.
Mm, it almost becomes like a kind of autopilot thing. Kate, last but certainly not least, do you have any tips for handling heightened anxiety due to alcohol consumption at particularly social times like Christmas and New Year's and whatnot?
Well, I suppose if we start at the more severe end of the spectrum, if you think you might be starting to get hooked on alcohol, a really good idea to go and see a doctor or a specialist drug and alcohol unit, even if you're not sure but you just wonder. The earlier people go and discuss it, the better. It's much, much easier to change things when it's early on. But if it's on the other hand and you don't think you're hooked on alcohol, but you know that anxiety pushes you to drink, I think thinking about other ways to handle it, because we know the people who start to rely on alcohol to solve anxiety, they're the ones more at risk of running into drinking problems. Or they're one group. There's many groups who are at more risk, but that's one group. So if whether it's exercising before you go to a party, so you've got a bit of those endorphins in your system, whether it's, you know, using a bit of mindfulness, whether it's actually going and talking to someone about getting some techniques to manage anxiety. And there's a few online sites too, like Beyond Blue have online resources for coping with anxiety. And then there's simple trips, like when you get there to a party, rather than thinking, and what's everyone thinking about me? Because chances are they're not thinking about you. Chances they're more thinking about what's the next thing they're going to say or whether they feel awkward. So starting to try and think about the people around you and, put your focus on them, there's someone maybe who's a bit left out who doesn't know anyone, I can go and look after them. And, so I think, but I'm not expertise on those techniques, but talking to a good counsellor who's thought about all those can help give you some skills to handle it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kate. It's been really great having you on the show.
Lovely to talk with you, Ruby.